Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Reverend James of folkconjure.com in North Carolina, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and ConjureMan of ConjureManConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we welcome a special guest, Ms. Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, bringing us today's topic on protection and guardianship. They will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divine and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Catherine Ironwood and ConjureMan. Miss Cat?
Hi, Reverend James. Well, today is a last minute. Got everyone in here. People are coming into the chat. Boy, it's we're running just about 30 seconds late on everything. So how are things in North Carolina?
Things are good. Temperatures kind of evened out from last week whenever we had that really cold snap. But we finally are starting to get those that remember me talking about our vigil candles that I redone all of the labels. Mm-hmm. Those are going up this evening. So that's exciting to see all of those pretty new labels on the website.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really great. You know, it's interesting, our guest today, Miss Michael, also mentioned that, and I'm going to get her to talk about it when she gets on the air, that she's been doing new labels too. Everyone's in a new label binge. 2024, the year of the new labels, I guess.
I'm here
well,
for
Well, here, actually, I'm working on a new label as well for Cleopatra oil, which was an oil that was formulated by our dear friend Deacon Millett a number of years ago for one of his clients who wanted it. And I never came up with a label. I just made the oil for him, and he actually formulated it. I created it. He's the only one who has purchased it from us for all of these years because we don't offer it because it doesn't have a label, and we just never put it on the web page or anything. But every once in a while, people come in and go, what are you making? We're making Cleopatra oil for Deacon Millett. And somebody said, well, I want some too. And I said, but there's no label. And they said, well, just handwrite a label. So I did.
Oh, dear.
And this week, finally, and I'm talking 10 years now with making Cleopatra oil. also, one time a lady came in and her name was Greta, and I thought, well, that was really cool. I think it was an assumed name. I don't think her mom named her that. But I said, oh, we have Cleopatra oil. And so she wanted some, and I very carefully wrote out the word Cleopatra in fancy lettering. So I'm working on a label, too. We are all working us on to the into the commercial end of springtime. Springtime is when the flowers burst into bloom. And they attract the little butterflies and bees and little insects. And it's when merchants burst into bloom with new labels, just like new flowers, and they attract new customers. So I am looking at our chat, and I do not see ConjureMan here.
Is he here?
You're live, but you're not in the chat.
Yeah, I had a little bit of tech problems, but I'm here. Block Talk has not been my friend the past couple of weeks. Last week, it dropped me.
Yeah, I heard that. Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, which is another name for Nagashiva Ironwood, said, any relation to Cleo May for Cleopatra oil? And the answer is, well, only by coincidence, but it's not. It's an entirely different formula. How are you, ConjureMan?
I'm doing really well. It's been a a good week. I will say one thing. I am very much looking forward to spring, and spring has not sprung quite yet on our end. Is it still gloomy a little bit up where you're at, or has the sun started to...
Oh, no, this morning. You see, we always get the weather just about a day before you. It was terrible this morning. It was all foggy and gray and blah. But then the sun came out. The camellias are in bloom. The azaleas are beginning to bloom. And things are looking up.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, the reason I asked that is because I always get the weather a little bit after you, so I'm previewing it a bit. So fingers crossed. Otherwise, doing quite well. I'm starting my spring cleaning. I've talked about this in the past, that every spring I do like a really spring and fall, the two sort of cardinal points. I do really, really in-depth spiritual cleansing of the house. So I've just started to sort of take apart the altars, really clean them up, and then moving through the altar rooms and really doing a deep spiritual cleansing. So that's what I've been doing, just working on doing that spring cleaning and freshening things up once again.
Well, that's a very good thing to do. We are eagerly awaiting a gardener family who come and garden for
mm-hmm.
us on we need that spring cleaning. We just had the roofs, the leaves all over the roofs of all the buildings blown off by the roofing blower people, and just as an added just friendly gesture, they blew off our paths as well, which was very nice. And so everything looks good. I don't have to go down with a push broom, which is nice. So yeah, we're doing cleanup too, starting with the outdoors, I guess. Well, today we have as a guest Miss Michael, one of our longest term friends
mm-hmm.
in this community, and I'm going to just tell you a little bit about her before she comes on in her own smiling self. Miss Michael is a woman who has been doing hoodoo and working for clients since as long as I've known her, and she may be able to tell us how many years that is. I'm not sure. And she is one of the kindest people. She's a member of the board of directors of the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers. She has her own chapel, the Aunt Carolyn Dye Memorial Chapel in Willits, and she is just a wonderful friend to all. So welcome to the show, Miss Michael.
Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
It's wonderful to have you here. Oh, and I forgot to mention, she's also the co-author of a couple of really important books. One is Hoodoo Bible Magic, which she wrote with her co-author, Professor Charles Porterfield. And the other one is Sneaky Tricks, How to Hide Your Hoodoo in Plain Sight, which she co-wrote with yours truly, Kat Ironwood. So if you don't have those books, you ought to check them out. All of her work is really good, and the spells that she gives, spot on. Just a wonderful person. Phyllis Margaret Gabor in the chat said, I know we aren't supposed to play favorites, but Miss Michael might be my favorite.
Fan favorite.
And Phyllis Gabor also says she has daffodils blooming in her yards. And Aya 13 said, what is Cleopatra oil good for? I've looked it up on Lucky Mojo. No mention. Right, no mention, because it's a big secret that I made for Deacon Millett. But when we debut it, it'll be out there. It's another kind of love oil. Look up Cleopatra, and you'll see how interesting a person she was. Although she came to a bad end, but there are women who will do anything for love. So it goes. All right. Well, today our topic is going to be protection and guardianship. So before we get to that, let's just say, Michael, I want you to talk about your new labels and what you're doing, and give us sort of a catch-up on your reality before we get into our topic.
Well, I've been designing labels for my own lamp and candle work for, years and years and years now. when did I start? When did I turn pro? It's been about 15, 16 years now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I've been designing my own labels, and as the graphics editing software gets simpler to use, they get fancier and fancier and more expressive. I'm especially proud of my Shut Down Enemies label, which mm-hmm. in its present version features a hornet caught in a Venus flytrap with four yeah. little heads sticking out between the teeth.
Yeah, you sort of foreshadowed those labels to us. And the members of AIR, Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, have a little social gathering via Zoom on the 6th of every month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. And Miss Michael showed off her labels. And it's a wonderful place for AIR members to meet other AIR members. You know, we do other things other than just work for clients. We also are friends with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that particular label incredible with the Venus flytrap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found that image at Unsplash, and I knew I had to use it. Mm-hmm. I knew it was perfect.
Now, these are for little oil lamps. Why don't you tell us about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Well, I gave up on candles about 7 years ago because I got a long run of candles that not only burned black, no matter what kind of work I did, but also stank.
So I remember those.
Yep. I said, that's it. I'm going to switch to oil lamps and none of your nasty kerosene either because that gives me headaches. So it was a couple of years after, I think it was Dr. E, gave that workshop on vegetable oil lamps and mm-hmm. different ways to set them up. And so I use a little shot glass for an oil reservoir. And a floating wick that you can buy by the 100. And the herbs to dress it with, I just drop right into that little glass. And I set that into a rocks glass, you know, one of those drinks glasses that's not very tall, but it's wide.
Mm-hmm.
And I paste the label on that and with craft glue and some tissue paper usually. Sometimes I use glitter, too. And because I use craft glue, I can use them over and over again for multiple clients.
Well, so when people have you do candle work or oil lamp work for them, these are not ones that you send to them. These are ones you do at your own chapel for them, the same way that we burn candles uh-huh. at Missionary Independent.
That's right. Mm.
And so just might as well, you know, put your little blooming flower out there. How much do you charge for an oil lamp, and how long does it run?
$30 for 7 days. But if it's a court case lamp, you get 2 days extra, 9 days.
Oh, well, how nice of you.
Mm-hmm. And for 2 weeks, it's $60 for a month. Whether that's 28 or 31 days, that's $120. And you can
wow.
mix and match.
What do you mean mix and match? What does that mean?
Well, if you want to spend your $120 on 4 30-day lamps, you can certainly do that.
I see.
I mean,
so you can mix and match.
Four 7-day okay. lamps.
yeah, 4 7-day lamps, and you'll still get the discount for 1 month, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
That's good. That's nice. That's a nice little bargain. Okay, well, I like it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So all you all who do math, just remember those 31-day months give you more for your money.
More, yes. Well, it's less math for me.
Right. That's why, you know, when I do my Patreon releases, I do them on the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, and the 28th, no matter how many days there are in a month. And those mm-hmm. longer months, I just have a couple of days that I can just sit around and watch old movies and don't have to worry about writing. All right. Well, that's really wonderful to know that you're doing that. And that oil lamp service is great because it's very continuous. It's mm-hmm. also something that is, as far as these things go, a bit safer than burning candles. You don't need to have a big, mm-hmm. Big fire safe place, because you're doing them in a small container inside of a larger container. Wonderful work, and those labels are spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, another thing is, I also, since oil lamps tend not to leave signs like candles do, I do a little divination with a few cards and maybe a glance at a crystal ball, maybe a scripture or two. I email the client after that. You also get a start photo when I light it on the first night.
Wow. Okay. And this is at hoodoofoundry.com.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, now let's go to our topic. Now, you brought me this topic, and I'm going to wax poetic about how talented you are for just a moment, so you can just blush and giggle quietly.
Okay.
Okay.
I will do that.
Miss Michael is the co-author of Hoodoo Bible Magic, which she started, and then as our deadline approached, Professor Porterfield stepped in and kind of caught up a few loose edges, and I did too, although my name's not on the cover, but you'll see my name in the author credits. So we all brought Miss Michael over the finish line, and she then gave a wonderful presentation with Professor Porterfield at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, and she said, well, there's two different books I'd like to do. I want to do a book on protection magic, and I want to do a book on hiding your hoodoo. And I said, there's never been a book on hiding your hoodoo. Let's do that one first. So she came up with Sneaky Tricks. And this is a book mm-hmm. that I ended up getting involved in as well. I will say one thing. Miss Michael is a great writer. She's also slow-ish. And so as the deadline loomed, I jumped in again. But this is primarily her book. Sneaky Tricks is really her thing, and it's a wonderful book for people who are living with people who don't like magic, or living with people who they want to hide their magic from, and also for doing magic on the job, you know, in the workplace or at school, where you can't afford to have your magic seen for one reason or another. There's no other book like it. But that leaves us with the protection spell book. So I am now planning and plotting the protection spell book with Miss Michael. And I think we're going to be doing it together, I hope. And I hope we'll have it out real soon now. But this show is kind of the shot across the bow. You know, here we go. It's on protection and guardianship. So I'm going to talk very briefly about what those things are and how they differ. So guardianship implies that there is a guardian. And the guardian would be an entity. So it could be a spiritual entity that is discorporate, like a guardian angel. It could be an archangel, like Archangel Michael. It could be a spirit of an ancestor or the dead who guards and protects you. And it could be also an herb or a mineral that has, or a root that has protective attributes, symbolism, or vibe, or aura, or scent, or color, or shape, according to the doctrine of signatures. So this protective thing might be something that protects against the evil eye. For instance, it might be in the form of an eye, like a cat's eye shell. Or if it was protective against vermin, it might have a strong aromatic scent, like eucalyptus, which protects against literal vermin, but also against verminous people. And so those are certain types of guardians. There are also guardian statues, guardians that take the form of a place, metaphorical place. And then there's protection. And protection is different than a guardian. Protection is something that you may need on the fly. You haven't really applied to anybody. There's no, like, I'm not carrying eucalyptus on me, but I need protection now. So protection usually takes the form of a petition, a plea, or a prayer. For instance, there are many psalms of protection, and you are only calling upon God for protection. It's not as if there would be a guardian. It's just you're asking for protection at that time. And there are also protective herbs, which are just protective of their style is protective. But that's the difference between guardianship and protection in my mind. What do you think, Miss Michael?
Well, we were talking about this last week, and you said, you pointed out that a protector slays your enemies, like in Psalm 91, 10,000 will fall at my right hand, at my right side, and 10,000 at my left, but I will not fear. And like the angel who slew 185,000 Assyrian enemies in one night, and Israel woke up and they were surrounded by all those carcasses. but a guardian angel or spirit is not so much a super warrior as someone who keeps you from doing dumb stuff, keeps you, make sure that you step over the hole in the bridge instead of falling through it. And, well, there's a verse in Psalm 91 that completely sums it up in my mind. And it is, let's see, Bible Hub. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone.
Right.
So think of a guardian spirit or angel as when you're about to step into a hole, their hand is there to catch your foot.
Right.
So you may not even be aware. When life is going smoothly, you may not be aware of what they're doing for you.
Well, you know, this is the image of the guardian angel that we all like, the so-called Lindberg angel. Called that because it was first published by the Lindberg Printing Company in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows a female guardian angel with two little Swiss children stepping onto a dangerous bridge that's partly broken, and this guardian angel is like, I'm going to catch him, right?
Mm-hmm.
That is a very popular image. It comes also in an African-American version, which we used. I believe it's in the slideshow. We used it on our placard for this show. So, yeah, the guardian angel is the one who turns you toward the good and turns you toward safety so that you don't actually fall into the pit.
Yeah.
I have some URLs. I was going to put a couple of them up here. Maybe Nagashiva can help. But let's see if I can draw some in here. I'm just going to put here guardian angel and Archangel Michael. So Archangel Michael is another one who's used for protection rather than guardianship. He's considered to be sort of armed and will be a helper if you need help, and he will fight off the damage that's approaching you. There are also I'm going to put in a couple of spiritual supplies that are used also for protection and guardianship. So two of them are protection. One's called protection. The other one's called fiery wall of protection. And the other one is called fear not to walk over evil, which is more of a guardianship type thing. You don't even step into the evil. Protection has a picture of an angel on it. Fiery wall has flames. So let's bring a conjurman in here. What do you have to say about protection, magic, and guardianship? Oh, and please tell people about that workshop you did about the spirit guardian.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that, that a few years back. It's been a while now that I think about it. It's been quite a bit. But
It's in the red folder.
It's in the red folder, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's in the red folder. We did a workshop at the Hoodoo Heritage Festival where we talked about spirit guardianship and spirit protection, and we actually created spirit guardians. And in the workshop, I talked about basically my theory of protection and how sort of global folk magic has had different manifestations. So As an anthropologist, as an ethnographer, I'm always interested in how people have practiced folk magic throughout the centuries. And one thing that we were able to identify is that protective magic sort of has multiple parts. There's protective magic that it has a barrier quality. That is, you create sort of a wall and say, no one crosses this wall. And this can be done in symbolic form. It can be done quite literally by building a wall. In hoodoo, for example, the scattering of mustard seeds in order to stop a person from entering, specifically witches who are forced to sit down and count each one, or the hag that is meant to stop and count at each one. That's a type of barrier, right? It's meant to stop a person from entering your premises or getting close to you. So that's that one type of magic, barrier protective magic. Then we have what we call amuletic magic or talismanic magic. And that's magic that's generally, or protective magic that is generally on the person. It's a physical object that continuously protects you. It can be a ring, it could be something that you wear. And sometimes barrier and amuletic blend with one another. These aren't discrete categories. An example of this would be the Louisianan spell known as St. Michael's Sword, in which a brand new knife is taken, is consecrated and prayed over and dressed and anointed with oil, and then stabbed in the front yard with the blade outward. This is both an amuletic object, but also creates a barrier. No one crosses this threshold because St. Michael protects it. And then the third is guardianship. So we do talk a little bit about guardians or spirit protectors. And that can involve invoking your ancestors to protect your home. And we sort of distinguish this as having more intelligence than the other types of protection. Again, these categories aren't distinct from one another, and there is a lot of overlap. An example, for example, of barrier magic and guardianship magic is going and getting the dirt of your ancestor or a police officer, asking for their aid, and then sprinkling their graveyard dirt in the four corners of your property so that they guard your property. That is both a barrier and a type of guardianship. So we sort of separate the different types of protection. Now, we can expand guardianship even further to intervention. And intervention means reaching out to higher powers. This can be angels. This can be God Almighty. This form of protection is more active. It's not passive. It doesn't wait for, you know, an enemy to show up on your doorstep and go, okay, you can't enter into this door. Guardianship is much more active. It can say, this is an enemy, we've identified this enemy, and we're going to neutralize this person before they're even able to attack or come to this person's house. So when you start to think of protection this way, that can also allow you to layer your protection. And I find the people who are most impervious to being crossed, to being cursed, to being evil-eyed, to being whatever, include sort of several layers of protection. They have barriers, they have amulets, and they have guardians.
That's a wonderful way of looking at it, the layering of it. We've got some good stuff in the chat here. Solomon Seal Root was mentioned, and I said you can go to Hoodoo at a Glance, and there's, scroll down, just find the word protection, and you'll find a list of many, many herbs with links to their pages, where you can read at least one spell of each of those herbs for protection. And I loved what you said, that guardianship is more active than mere protection. That's really important to understand. This is why people talk about having the dead protecting them or ancestors.
Yeah.
You know, that so many people report that strange event where they're about to get into a car and they hear their mother, who's been dead for 20 years, going, no, don't go in the car. Right? And they go, oh, okay, right?
Yep.
Or they do when they get into a wreck. If you've ever had that happen, you know how real it is. The dead watch over us. And particularly mothers and grandmothers are known for doing this, sometimes fathers, but it's really an interesting phenomenon. So many people have experienced it that the pages of Fate magazine are filled with accounts of these, which sound so strange and anecdotal, But when these things happen, they are precognitive guardian, I guess you could say, guardianship. It's really an important part of it. But then how do you say, I want a precognitive guardian to watch over me? It's hard to invite such a being. And some people have the gift to hear those voices, and some do not. And if you don't have that gift, you are going to rely on other spirits that are known for guarding, such as the guardian angel or Archangel Michael. And speaking of the guardian angel, I just want to say very quickly, people say, is there one guardian angel or does everyone have their own? I don't know the answer to that, but I've heard both answers given with absolute sincerity and authenticity by different people. So, you know me, I'm always, you know, one of those that if it works for you, it works for you. And that's it. I tend to believe that there are guardian angels for each person or maybe for each family. Sometimes people will find that, just to give an example from history, if a family has a family crest or they're associated by their name with a particular animal or plant, you know, I don't think their last name would be Boneset, but their but their last name might be Wolf. When that animal appears, that animal will be often a guardian animal because it's something that is part of their clan or family, but it is not an ancestor. So that's another thing that happens. Yeah.
Yeah, some type of guardian protectors. I mean, we do find these throughout history where people have guardians that have watched over them. Oh, similar with ancestors that they have that watch it, like active ancestors, not one that they've cultivated that have always been present. But yeah, this idea of a guardian angel is particularly ubiquitous in the Abrahamic religions, right? You find the idea of a guardian angel. One way that I was taught this was the idea that there is one guardian angel, but that guardian angel then assigns, you know, subordinate angels to every single person. So there's sort of a chief guardian angel within guardian angel officers for each and every one of us.
Ms. Michael has typed, Muslims say everyone has two guardian angels. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there is an Islamic tradition in which people have two guardian angels. They're known as the watchers or the scribes, and they protect people. Some say there's actually four, two that watch and two that protect. And so they inscribe everyone's deeds, all the good that they do, all the harm that they do for the day of judgment. And then there's two that actively ensure that the person is protected and meets their destiny. In Islamic concept of life and death, no one meets their death before their destiny. And so the job of the guardian angel is to ensure that they reach that final point. And so there is some debate whether there's two or there's four angels assigned to every person.
You know, this is also gets to the idea of patron saints. And Ayah 13 said some professions apparently have guardian angels. Certainly in various religions, there are deities, spirits, or saints who protect people of certain occupations, particularly the more dangerous occupations, such as being a sailor or a miner, and show compassion and forewarning. And those are guardian spirits for sure. Whose name I cannot pronounce in the chat, it says, there is only one group of guardian angels, Michael, Raphael, Gabriel, and I forgot the last one. That would be Uriel, I believe. That's funny. Uriel is the angel that always gets forgotten, poor thing. Oh, gosh. And that gets us to that old Irish prayer, God before me, God behind me, God beside me, God over me, God under me. I'm not Irish. I don't know it. But, Michael, do you know that prayer?
St. Patrick's Shield.
Unfortunately, I don't. But, yeah, there's an angel. You know, yeah, on either side of you, above you, below you, before you, and behind you.
It's associated with St. Patrick. And just to mention, it's St. Patrick's Day. It's sometimes called the breastplate of Saint Patrick.
That's
I don't know
right.
Why.
Yeah, and I used to recite that prayer every night for months and months and months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I do want to mention the Book of Abramelin, which is one of the earliest sources for all of these seals of Solomon, which also appear in Moses' magical spirit art. And this tradition, which dates back to 1600 and something, of going through an intensive ritual work, 18 months of intensive ritual work to meet your whole. And if you perfectly observe all these rules, all the following symbols that we now know from these books, and an infinitude of others will be granted unto thee by thy guardian angel. But on the other hand, Pope Francis in 2014 described a much simpler process. Do I listen to him? Do I bid him good day in the morning? Do I tell him, guard me while I sleep? Do I speak with him? Do I ask his advice?
That's a good one. I'm very much into the use of talismans and seals for protection.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly comes out of my family's tradition. But there were also, for instance, Norse methods of using Norse bind runes for protection. One of the ones that everyone loves is the one that says, you will not come to harm on land or on sea. And it's just a little charm that you can wear. And, of course, mm-hmm. the seals of Solomon, the seals of Moses. And there are many of these are amulets that are used that way. Aisha, Ayah 13 says, Gaduliel is on the left, Gaburiel is on the right, according to the prayer of Solomon. There is a in the red folder, a Norse troll Nitta for protection. I'm going to put that through, not the thing itself, but the link. The reminder of where you can find it. It's in the red book on page 85. And Johannes Gard book had us making those. You had to stand on a stone. It had to be a landfast stone. You couldn't just put gravel on the road. It had to be a stone so big and heavy that you could not lift it out of the earth. And then you had to pray into this little packet that you were making inside of a piece of cloth and breathe into it, tie it up. And that was your troll. It's like a mojo bag from Sweden. Anything else? Anybody has another?
There's also very famous, speaking of Norse ruins, there is also the famous Helm of Awe, we should mention, a bind ruin that is then inscribed on some a talisman around your neck or on a helmet. And it's designed to protect you from all harm by specifically paralyzing your enemies with fear. So it sort of stops them in their tracks, so to speak. And that's also quite a famous bind rune that comes out of the Nordic tradition. But we should also mention the sort of talismans like seals and bind ruins, and these sort of inscribed talismans. There's also natural talismanic objects like silver. Silver, quite famously, is associated with protective qualities. Some say, for example, iron and steel have protective qualities just by their nature, so that holding those items or having those items will keep you safe.
That's true.
My personal favorites are the Hamsa hand and raw black tourmaline.
Mm-hmm. That's another one. Yeah, and tourmaline, as most of you know who listen to this show, but many who listen in future years will have already forgotten what tourmaline is. It's a black mineral that's made of little little rods that are all sort of fused together, so it's a directional mineral. And if you get a black tourmaline piece that's sort of tubular shaped, that's not tubular, what would you call it, cylindrical shape, with all of these little compression cylinders, and then it's put into a fitting of silver usually, and it hangs down. Just look up black tourmaline amulet, you'll find it. And black tourmaline is very, very protective. It wards off evil. It's excellent. I swear by it. I love it. Don't be confused by watermelon tourmaline, which is another species of tourmaline that's green at one end and pink at the other, and is used for love and money, or money and love in that order. So I also like cat's eye shells, and mm-hmm. I so well remember the workshop that Conjurman gave, where we were given air drying clay and cat's eye shells. And what else went into those? Was there an oil too? Yes.
There was a protection oil that we use, but also like other herbs can be combined. I mean, you obviously have to get the red folder in order to get the full details here. But you combine herbs with your clay, and there are of course various protective herbs. The most famous use is salt, right? Salt is both purifying; it does everything, but it's also incredibly protective. Having salt in the home is an act of protection, and using salt by putting salt in the four corners of the home is protection. Bay leaves is very, very protective. So there's a variety of different herbs that can be used. And if the wise knows how to combine them all with various techniques around, you know, barriers and amuletic and spirit guardian, mojo bags, for example, are a fantastic manifestation of a mix of all of that. You take natural and minerals that are protective, combine them together into a mojo bag with prayers and petitions. You pray into it. The mojo bag then acts as an amulet, as a protective object, but the mojo bag is alive. The mojo bag is a spirit that will continue to protect you, that will actively protect you. That goes back to the conversation we were having earlier about guardianship and how it is an active form of protection. So there's this mojo bag, in my opinion, is the protective object par excellence. It's like it's everything. It's got minerals. It's got an amuletic component. It's a guardian. It's really a fantastic object when it comes to protection, and it helps you to really think through protection and guardianship in its creation.
That's, you know, using mojo bags for protection, not to plug myself, but I wrote a book called The Art of Making Mojos, and there are quite a few protection mojos, you know, recipes for compiling them, which are traditional and innovative. And but again, you can go through that list at Hoodoo at a Glance, which I think I put the link up already, and just find the herbs that work for you. Read about them. Don't just take them off the list like, oh, I'm going to use this, this, and that. But read about them and why they are used for what they're used for. Dr. Sweet in the chat says, black tourmaline with mica reflects back, and with quartz amplifying then reflects back. But black tourmaline alone flips negative to positive. I agree. Also, rutilated smoky quartz is said to do the same thing, although it's a little harder to find, a little more expensive than black tourmaline.
But it's so pretty.
I know. It's really great. There's also something else that's in the red folder and came out of the Hoodoo Heritage Festivals, which were under the aegis of Air, and that is the Jewish protection bowls. And we had a workshop on those, which was given by Dr. Jeremy Weiss. And they're on page 92 of the red folder. So these are spell bowls, and they are thought to have entered Judaism after the Babylonian captivity or during the Babylonian captivity. They are not from the most ancient layer of Abrahamic Mosaic Judaism. They seem to be later, but they are Jewish through and through, and they consist of writing in spirals that are often what is called a get or a bill of divorcement from a demon that's bothering you. So they send the demon away, but they can also be used to simply stop demons from entering the house. There are also Islamic forms of them, which come later because Islam comes after Judaism, but they obviously had entered into the Semitic tribal magic lore, and by the time that Islam came into being, they became Islamic. And I have a beautiful one that my dear friend Conjurman gave me. made of brass. The Jewish ones are almost always made of clay. So can you tell us a little bit about those and how they are used for protection?
Yeah, the bowl magic that's used for protection is actually Babylonian in origin. So they inspire and influence both Judaism and Islam in that way. They come actually from the tradition of driving out unclean spirits and keeping them away from the home. This is based on the idea that the spirits of the city, the spirits of the home, all clean, protective, etc. But the spirits of the wilderness are all dangerous, chaotic, and disease-causing. We find this in Babylonian lore, the difference between, for example, the Lilitu and Pazuzu, who is a protective entity. We find this in early Israelite religion as well, which eventually gives rise to Judaism. We find the difference between, for example, the dangers of Azazel that exist out in the wilderness and the Shadim, the unclean spirits that exist out there, versus the Lord that is in his house. And we find it in Islam, between the difference between, for example, protective angels and the jinn that are out there. So this sort of dichotomy between clean and unclean spirits. And so in Babylonian magic, there's this idea of placing protective charms buried in the home or in the four corners of the home. This then inspires the Jewish prayer bowls and healing bowls that can be both used to heal, to work charms, but also as a protection in which magical script is written on the bowls, and then the bowls are buried in the four corners, just like the Babylonians did it. And the Muslims adapt this as well. And when Islam arrives, it adapts just like the Jews did from the Babylonian tradition, while also being inspired by Jewish folk magic and creating these medicinal bowls, these magic bowls, which can be used for healing. Generally, water is poured into them, and then they're drunk from that. The idea being that the prayers would then influence the water, spreading their blessings into the water through that inscription because the water had touched it. But they're also used for protection, specifically against the jinn. And so these bowls are inscribed generally in a spiraling format. In fact, I'm pretty sure we did a whole episode on these spiraling formats, and we discussed them on a radio show a long time ago. I talked about the spiraling jinn bowls.
I remember that too, and I was so late this morning getting everything together. I did not find that radio show, but
I don't
know
remember
we
when
did
it
one.
Was either. I don't know when it was, but it was a long time ago. Yeah, and we've talked about those spiraling strips, and they're used in a similar fashion of the way that the Babylonians and the Jews did it as well. And that is that you create these scripts, these spiraling bowls, they're prayed over, they're consecrated, and then they're kept in a corner of the home, the idea being that it will pull the jinn in and trap them through its spiraling nature, and therefore keep you safe from harm.
Yeah. So these spiraling bowls, you can see a picture of one of them in the book Paper in My Shoe, where I had listed it as being a written inscription. So, you know, it's both written and it's a bowl and it's protection. Many things have more than one avenue of introduction to them. So you can see that if you have that book. These clay bowls that we made with Jeremy were wonderful. I still have mine, and we were given a needle to inscribe them, and we could write whatever we wanted to. We could go from the inside out or from the outside in if we wanted to draw in love or something like that, or from the inside out to repel someone. And they often will have a picture of a demon in chains in the center if you draw them in and trap them. So there are many ways to make them. And breaking them intentionally is sometimes part of it, but we're not sure, because if you find them broken, gee, maybe they just broke by accident. No one really knows. But they were often put in the foundations of houses, and the idea is that the weight of the house settling eventually broke them, and they weren't done on purpose. But then other scholars say, whoa, they were done on purpose. Okay, well, no one knows. This is the difference between oral history and written history, and nobody left an instruction book back then. We're on our own.
Remember,
I tend to think. What were you saying?
I still have the demon bowl that I made at Jeremy's workshop. And mm-hmm. the only part of the text I wrote that I can still read is, your grandchildren will join your enemies in the work of righteousness.
Oh, how nice. Aren't you good? Dr. Sweet says, were these the ones that were set on fire? No, these were not set on fire. These are the ones we all took home very carefully, and we had to find many, many boxes at Lucky Mojo for people to get them, to take them home so they wouldn't break. They're very lovely, and Jeremy still teaches classes and how to make those, and I think he's done some Zoom classes, so check him out if you're interested in Jewish protection bowls or incantation bowls, as some people call them. All right, well, let's go to another thing here, and this is protective baths, washes, sprinkles, sprays, and teas. So these are ways to protect your body by protecting your skin. And there is a forum thread about them, which I've just put through, where you can ask questions about these protective baths, washes, sprinkles, sprays, and teas. Some of them, like rue, are pretty well known. You make a rue tea and you can bathe with it. Some of them are sprinkles, like dried basil, which you can sprinkle on the floor and then sweep out the door. And these are very often used in folk magic of all kinds, but particularly in hoodoo, there are a lot of them. Just to protect your home from arguments, you might use peace water as an example. Mm-hmm. Fern is another, yes, Phyllis Margaret Gabor says you can do that with fern. Fern will protect from burglaries as well. Phyllis says, what about reverse mirror boxes for protection? I'm not a big fan of those. I know the first time I heard about them, I intuitively felt a sense of foreboding claustrophobia.
Yeah, I was about to say that.
The idea of a mirror box is you put your enemy in the mirror box with the mirror sides in or between two flat mirrors or whatever you're going to do, and they're trapped in a world of their own repetitive cycling without being able to get out. And somebody on our radio show many, many years ago said, well, you know, you can do those in reverse. You can put a doll of yourself inside with the mirrors facing out. And I just got this sense of dread. I didn't like it. Mm-hmm. It's the minute I heard about it. But there are others who have sworn, but they love it. They're the kind of people who feel really safe in their bedroom or in their closet or whatever, and they think this is really great. Now, it does have an analogy with a less claustrophobic version, which is to put mirrors facing outward against your bad neighbors, but there's spaces in between. You can walk around and breathe. Yep. I don't think I'd put a doll of myself inside a mirror, but that's just me. Somebody in the chat, raise your hand in the chat. If you would put yourself, a doll of you, inside of a reverse mirror box to protect yourself and feel comfortable, let us know that you would do it. I can't.
I would say to clients that object of that sort, you can make it, but I would use it as like a last resort. Mm-hmm. That would be something like you're trapped, you're cornered, you've got no other means of protection. You put yourself in this object. So, for example, there was a case of a client who was unhoused and who had we did do a reversal of it, of the mirror box where we put them in the box and the mirrors, because she literally didn't have a house. She couldn't put mm-hmm. mirrors in her house, but it was temporary. And like you, I wouldn't do this, like, because there is a sort of claustrophobic component. If you want the mirrors, you have a home. You have an apartment. Put the mirrors up. put them in your doorway as people enter. Put them on the outside. Those are all fantastic ways of doing it without putting yourself in a box. On the other hand, you can create a protective doll baby. That is totally legit. You don't need to put it in a mirror box. You can keep it in the home somewhere safe. But a doll baby can have two forms. One is a protective one in which you put all these really great things, and it acts as a sort of protector and guardian and wards you from evil. And the other is as a decoy. And we've talked about this in the past, is where it will act as a proxy for you. So anyone who tries to throw for you, it actually is drawn to the doll baby and you remain safe. It's sort of a proxy sacrifice, if you will, in that way. So doll babies as protection is totally legit.
This is proxy dolls, and also I just have to mention Paulette Keeks, which are proxy penises that are used to protect the penis.
Mm-hmm.
They're from Thailand. To protect the penis against withering from the results of what we would call the evil eye in English. And so if someone was to glance at someone's crotch, they would be wearing a Paulette Keek, which is usually made of metal. It could be carved of bone or coral even. And it attracts the evil and deflects it back out. So Paulette Keeks are interesting to me because there is a female variant. It's called a Chaping, but they're very rare, and they are used to protect female genitals. But apparently, because the female genitals are, as far as reproduction are concerned, are all internal, they don't seem to need as much protection. But there is no clitoris protector in Thai tradition in the way that there is a Paulette Keek, I think because the penis is so visible. People are funny that way, and they don't know anatomy as well as some biologists do. Clifford Lowe has joined us. Hi, Cliff. He says, Paracelsus recommended using a mandrake as a diversionary or decoy doll, attracting malevolent celestial influences and curses alike. Thank you, Cliff. That's a really good one, of course. Mandrake dolls, he's talking about, and what Paracelsus would have been talking about, would have been made with European mandrake, the toxic herb with a toxic root. There is also American mandrake, which has a root in the form of sort of brown stick-like pieces, which was also used to make dolls by Native Americans. And so it also is a doll magic root, but it's not related to the European mandrake. And there are other roots that have been used to make as decoys, but the reason the European mandrake is used is that it's toxic, it's poisonous, so it's like setting up a landmine, and if someone tries to attack it, it's going to explode its evil all over them, which is pretty cool. Anybody else have anything to contribute?
That was fantastic. Yeah, like the use of mandrake is really great here. And again, these sort of proxy objects work wonderfully. They sort of combine two different elements, a deflective element and a drawing. It's like they deflect the harm away from you, but they also have this sort of amuletic, physical, magical object of these sorts. And they work well, again, in this sort of layers. If you have some type of personal protection, you've created a barrier, you then can have a doll baby that deflects anything that gets through.
Yeah. Shiva asked, what about the vulva amulets that we've made? Well, we made them just for, you know, being equal, you know, Title IX amulets, we call them. But they are not traditional folkloric amulets for protection. All right. Well, that was a great topic, and we covered a lot of ground. And look for that book on protection magic by Miss Michael and Kat Ironwood sometime soon. I don't know when. We're going to start work on it. And we don't have a deadline. We don't have a date of publication yet, but we're working on it now because I just spent the whole morning getting together a ton of spells prior to this show. So I'm looking forward to working with Michael on that. Under construction. Okay. All right. Well, let's turn this over to Reverend James.
Thank you, Ms. Kat. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted root worker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. Soul Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. tonight. Our client is Veronica from California, but she did not call in, so we will be taking her in absentia and read her situation on the air. And she writes, I broke up with my partner of almost 5 years and felt like we were no longer aligned with our path. Although I know this was the best decision for myself, sometimes I find it challenging to completely let go and tend to reminisce on the past. Am I ready to cut all ties with his energy and open new doors of opportunity? Are there any candles or cleanses you may recommend? Turning it over to you, Ms. Kat.
All right. I think you inverted two words on that. She did not say, am I ready? She said, I am ready. So I'm looking at this as not so much a desire for divination into her mind. Her mind is made up. She's ready to cut all ties. And she's simply asking for candles or cleanses that we may recommend. Now, usually we will do a reading, but I think she has her mind made up. And so I think all three of us will be giving her some spell work. Does that seem okay with you guys? Do I hear a yes?
Yeah, sure.
How about you, Michael?
Yes.
Okay. So she doesn't need a reading, which is okay. I love to read for people, but I'm ready to plunge right into this. All right, I'm going to give her the first one. I think we do a round robin on this and just go till our time runs out. I'm going to give her the black walnut spell. So, Veronica, you can go to a page that is luckymojo.com/cutandclear.html, and somebody will put that in, and his name will be Nagashiva Ironwood. And he did it! Yes. So it's in the chat now if you want to read it. And at that cut and clear spell page, there are two spells. One is black walnuts and the other is a cut and clear spell with candles. And I'm just going to describe the black walnut spell. So this is one of those wonderful spells based on herbs, roots, seeds, leaves, that takes advantage of the natural phytomagical medical qualities of the plant. And black walnuts have a kind of chemicals that they create, which are known as juglans, because their name is juglans. That's their species name. And the juglans are toxic chemicals that are very astringent, and they drive away other plants, even other animals. And the reason they do this is that black walnuts in particular don't want other trees to compete with them. Particularly, they don't want conifers to compete with them because they would overtop them, and then they would have their sunlight cut off and they wouldn't be able to live. So they want whole forests of just hardwood trees, walnuts. So they secrete these at their roots, and it causes very few plants to live under a walnut. And people who are foresters have noted this for years. Nothing grows under walnuts except for very few certain ferns and things that have adapted. Therefore, where black walnuts fall to the ground, there's almost a dead zone around each black walnut as it falls to the ground. Nothing grows. And this has given rise to the idea that you can get rid of unwanted emotions, unwanted people, by using black walnuts. And so this is done with 9 black walnuts, the way I was taught it. You take 9 black walnuts still in their husks. So these would not have been dehusked, and the husks contain a lot of gooey black tannin and all sorts of, they make black dye for hair, and you boil them up, and you boil them up and make a tea, which is sort of a brown tea, and you're going to bathe in it. Be careful if you use a fiberglass tub, it may stain your tub. If you have a porcelain tub, it probably won't. And you pour the black walnuts over yourself and the water, and it will basically kill off your emotions that you're feeling for this person. Now, it helps if you say a prayer, you know, let me be free from all entanglements with so-and-so. Let me be free in my mind. Let me be free in my body. You know, let me be free in my hands. You can call it every body part you want to. And pour that over yourself. Some people have told me they need to do it 3 times. I've never heard of anyone doing it more than 3 times. It always works eventually. And that's the black walnut spell. So how about I'll turn this over to you, Michael. How about a spell for this person to cut all ties?
Well, I'd really recommend to so many, I've recommended it to so many people. The candle spell on that same cut and clear page. And I don't want to spend too much time going into it because there's a whole kit that you can get. It has all the materials. But the left side of your altar is a black candle and nasty herbs like red pepper. And the other side of your candle, of your altar, is a white candle and sweet herbs like jasmine flowers and things. And you have cut and clear oil and come to me oil. And you make two lists. One is everything you hated about your ex-partner. And that goes on one list on the left side of the altar. And the other one is everything you liked about that partner, because there's no reason to dismiss those things from your life just because your ex had them. And the whole ritual is on that page. But you end up burning up that list of bad stuff, and you're left with a list of good qualities and a handful of flowers. And it's a perfect beginning for a love mojo, for new love, for the actual Mr. Right.
That's a really lovely spell, and it was always when I mention it, I have to say that was taught to me by a Puerto Rican man I met in New York City, and I don't know his name. It was a long time ago. And he told it to me. He said it was Puerto Rican. I believed him. And I don't know, but I memorized it. I even took notes. And I said, well, thanks, but I have no need for it. But later, I did have a need for it. I never taught it to anybody because I didn't know if it worked or not. I tried it. It worked. And now I teach it to everybody. Cut and clear, the classic cut and clear spell. All right. How about you, Conjurman?
I'm going to give my go-to love uncrossing bat in this instance, because I think it's always good to start fresh, remove any entanglements, remove any harm, help the heart to heal. So what I want you to do is get rue and agrimony and violet leaves and brew this into a tea. You can also purchase the uncrossing bat mix from Lucky Mojo. You're going to brew this into a tea, and as the water is boiling, you're going to hold your hands over it and pray that it heal your heart, remove any cross conditions, any blockages for love. All those things are removed. You're going to pray over it. Let it boil, and then you're going to strain the tea, or you can, if you like loose herbs, you can keep those in. It's not that big a deal. I like to strain it. What you're going to do is draw yourself a nice, warm bath right to the temperature that you enjoy, the temperature that is ideal for you. You're going to pour this tea into that bath. You're then going to get yourself some milk and some honey. You're going to pour the milk in, making it a nice milky color. Add in a little bit of honey, not a lot. You're going to reach in and swirl your hand around so that the honey doesn't settle at the bottom and really kind of mixes in with everything. If you want, you can add a couple drops of Come to Me or Love Me oil, depending on which you prefer in regards to the smell and scent. So you're going to add a couple drops, and then you're going to cover this bath with rose petals. You're going to get some fresh rose petals and cover it right on top, sprinkling a few. You're going to soak yourself in this bath. Let yourself really soak and luxuriate. It's good for the skin. It's good for the mind. It's good for the body. But it will work wonders to remove any obstacles or past conditions that keep you from potentially finding true love. Let yourself soak in this, letting all the hurt go into that water, and then get out and let yourself air dry. Gather a bit of the used bath water and dispose of it off your property. You can repeat this bath as many times as you want. I generally recommend people to do it at least three times, at least three times. And I also recommend that when they do this bath, that they start it on a Monday or a Friday when the moon is waning. So that would be in terms of like, when do you actually start it? And then do it for about 3 days and let all the hurt go, let all the pain go, and don't look back. Start fresh in your desire for love and romance.
All right. That is classic. And we love it so much. And so many people have asked about it that we started making it ourselves at Lucky Mojo as Conjurement's Love and Crossing Oil. I mean, Love and Crossing Herbs Mix, excuse me. All right. I have another one. But this goes back to a kind of an older thing. If you have a photo of the person and you together, I want you to take a pair of pinking shears. Those are the scissors that cut a zigzag line. If not, just use your regular scissors and just cut an irregular zigzaggy line. Cut the two pictures apart so that no part of your body is found in the picture of this person. I now want you to take that picture of the person, and you can write their name on it, on the back, backwards in mirror writing. That undoes everything they've ever done. And then you're going to take that photo, and you're going to mix it with some things that are unpleasant to you. Such a photo might be mixed with urine or feces, for instance, your urine and feces, or much more neutral, chicken poo was sort of the go-to when I was a kid. But you can use cat poo, dog poo, any of those. And if you have a jar or something, you can put that in. Put a little bit of a little water to get it brewing and growing. I put all kinds of things in there, you know, whatever that person's favorite food was, maybe a dollar bill if they owed me money, and I knew I'd never get it back. Whatever you think, put that in a jar. Poke some holes in the jar. We're not going to have this sealed up and entombed. We're going to have this actively interacting with the world of nature. And so you could put in, just anything you want with that photo. Bury the photo in cat poo and kitty litter, and maybe put in a little bit of, black walnuts or something, whatever you want, and bury it. And you're going to bury it not too deep, and bury it under the ground with the hole with the jar upside down. And animals, bacteria, who knows what, ants, whatever you put in there, they'll go in there and they will mess around with it, and eventually it'll all be filled with dirt. That's the way of nature. It will fill up. You can bury it with the holes up if you prefer, but don't bury it on your own property where you'd walk over it. That would not be good for you. And so you want to take it someplace far away. A graveyard would be suitable, a state park, and just bury that jar. And as what's in it decomposes, the feelings you have will decompose. End of story. Okay. How about you, Michael?
I really love the that old Puerto Rican cut and stuff. And it's hard to improve on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you could just keep cut and clear in the house for situations like that, because it's not just about falling out of love. It's about falling out of an abusive friendship, escaping from an abusive job or an abusive church. You might just, if you were or resigned from a church, you might just have some cut and clear powder and just intrusively dribble just tiny quantities behind you as you make your way home.
Oh, that's good. I'm going to also say that there is another spell I want to quickly jump into, and then I'm going to turn this over to Conjuring. And that is called cord cutting. And this is where you can make two dolls, one for you and one for the person, and wrap one up with a cord, and then run the cord over to the other doll, and then pray for them to be cut apart, cut them apart physically. Take the other person's doll and throw it in a river, or throw it onto a railroad train as it passes by, or get rid of it in some way that is moving it away rather than just burying it. And your doll, you then unwind the cord and you burn the cord. He goes with his cord and everything, he's gone. And you burn the cord, then you take your doll and put it in a nice, safe place. How about you, Conjurman?
So one of the things I want to mention here is working that will help you to start moving towards a new love. And we've talked a lot about sort of cutting and clearing and healing the heart. My recommendation is to take a piece of paper and split this paper in half. Just put a line right through the middle of it. On the left-hand side, I want you to write down all the qualities that you didn't like in your previous relationship.
My kill already kind of covered this one. Is this going to be different?
It is different. It is different.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay, great. All right, sorry for interrupting. Okay.
Yeah, that's all right. So you're going to write down.
that's
okay. You're going to write down all the qualities that you don't like. Right? On the right-hand side, you're going to write all the qualities that you do like. Now, the thing that I recommend is that you actually take several days to do this. You're going to start to reduce these lists.
Mm.
This is a really incredible and important part of this. This is called getting to the essence. And what you're doing is you're refining your qualities, seeing those things that are genuine deal breakers versus things that annoy you. Like a person who chews a little loudly might be annoying, but maybe that's not a deal breaker for you. So you cross that off the list, right? But something that is a deal breaker, this person is stingy. That's a deal breaker, right? So you're reducing both lists. And on the right-hand side, you have all the qualities that you are genuinely looking for in a partner. And again, you're reducing the list over 3 days into the essence of the person. So for example, rather than, you want someone to be really, really rich anyway, I want them to make high six figures. But maybe that's not the true quality that you're looking for. The true quality you're looking for is that they're financially stable and generous with you. That's what you want. The actual amount is less important than them being stable and they're generous. Reduce this until the essence. I'm going to tear the paper in two. Now, the second half you can do, the paper that you don't want, the qualities you don't want, you can do whatever you want with that. You can burn it and spread the ashes. You can dissolve it in water, both the idea being that it's meant to drive you far, far away. Dissolve it in water. You dispose of it in a running water and running river so that it goes away and never comes back. If you burn it to ash, you scatter the ashes away from you. Now, you take the piece of paper with all the qualities that you are looking for, all the things that you desire, and you place two roses in them, spray it with your favorite bit of perfume, along with spraying yourself with some perfume, and fold this up and keep it underneath your bed so that it draws your lover to you.
Okay, that's a good one. I'm going to go back to the idea of running people away so that they do not come back. If you have that person's shoe left over, throw it onto a railroad train and it'll go, carry it out of town.
Mm.
All right, I think that's it. We gave Veronica a lot of ideas. And so we're going to go to the tritone of network identification, the schedule of network shows, and following that, the free spell from Miss Michael. Oh, and we're going to have the contest winner, too. Okay. Go ahead. Take it away, Mr. Tritone.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays, and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays, 4 to 5. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Some quick announcements about those upcoming shows on the LMC Radio Network. Monday, March 18th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places will be Doc Murphy bringing the topic of ethical eclecticism in your magical practice. And Tuesday, March 19th on the Crystal Silence League and Syndication will be The Astral Power Part 8. And Tuesday, March 19th on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron in Syndication with Miss Elvira and Phoenix Lefay will be the topic of Circle Sanctuary. And Wednesday, March 20th on the Now You Know show in syndication with Professor Porterfield will be the topic of Psalm 23 and Grains of Paradise. And Thursday, March 21st at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern time on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Miss Elvira and Deb Boyce will be the topic of Balancing Our Elemental Energies. Now to Miss Kat for our contest winners.
All right, we have a winner. And our Facebook Fridays winner for March 15th, 2024 is Shermaine Sampson. And she won the Super Secret Special. So these are books that are about things that are hidden and secret. So she won a copy of Sneaky Tricks by Miss Michael and Catherine Ironwood, that's me. She won a copy of The Secret of Numbers Revealed by Godfrey Spencer with editing by me, and it's all Dr. Roy Page Walton and a whole bunch of other people wrote that book. She wrote a copy of Secrets of the Crystal Silence League by Claude Alexander Conlon, edited and revised by Deacon Mellett and me. God, I had my hand in all of these. And she also won a copy of Hoodoo Bible Magic, Sacred Secrets of Scriptural Sorcery by Miss Michael and Professor Charles Porterfield. So, Shermaine Sampson, our winner this week. Please respond to the message, the Lucky Mojo Facebook page. Send us your mailing address for shipping purposes. If someone contacts you and asks you for your Social Security number, tell them to go to hell in a handcart, because Lucky Mojo never asks you for your Social Security or credit card number, just your mailing address. All right, turning it back over to James.
And now it's time for our free spell segment from our special guest, Miss Michael of HoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California. Take it away, Miss Michael.
Uh-oh.
Muted myself.
Uh-oh. Bad.
I'm still here. I got all dazzled and fascinated with the whole idea of everybody having their own guardian spirit, even if you don't know them personally. This is the way to find out, to meet them and know them personally. Dark spirit beacon. You're going to need an oil lamp or a white candle. You need psychic vision and clarity incense. A incense, not fiery wall. You need 7-Eleven holy oil. A little piece of paper for a petition. You want a couple of incense burners. Saucers filled with salt will work just fine. Two little glasses of water dyed pale blue. Food coloring is okay. And a drop or two of Florida water in each glass. You might want a crystal ball or a scrying stone, but if you're good at seeing images in your mind's eye, you may not need that. You'll also want some blank paper and a pen or pencil. So the lamp and the lamp or candle goes in the center of your altar. The petition paper is placed before the lamp. If you use a frying stone, put it on top of the petition paper. Incense burners to left and right of that lamp. Your blue water glasses go right behind the incense burners. And your paper and pen are just wherever it's convenient to write on them. So start your incenses. You want the protection on the left, the psychic vision and the clarity on the right. Put a drop of holy oil on each one and light them. Write out your petition to meet and know your spirit guardian friends, including their names, and kiss the paper in the center and five spot it with holy oil, a little smear in each corner and one in the center where you kissed it. Now dress the candle or lamp with the psychic vision and clarity incense powders and holy oil and light it. That's your spirit beacon. Now you read your petition paper aloud and continue praying impromptu from your heart. And if you can do this, close your eyes and meditate and wait for your guardian spirit friends to show you their appearance or some other sign or symbol that belongs to them by which you can recognize them. If that doesn't work very well for you, look at your scrying stone or crystal ball and let your guardian friends draw your attention to the shapes and symbols you need to see so that you can identify them and know them. And on your blank paper, with your pen, write down whatever you discover and preserve that in your magical journal. Keep that altar set up and spend time talking and listening to them regularly. Now, a few things you need to know about safe and friendly spirits. They will be, your guardian spirit will be delighted to hear from you. Think of your favorite celebrity asking for your autograph. Your guardian spirit is nicer, better than you are. So a spirit that suggests anything unethical or racist or otherwise nasty, don't fall for it. That's just bullshit. Your guardian spirit will have no problem hearing the name of Jesus, even if they are not a spirit from any Christian tradition, because there's nothing wrong with Jesus. And that's it.
I love that. Jesus is just all right. That's a really interesting thing, to a way to work to bring in guardian spirits if you feel you don't have any or need them near. It's very meditative, and I love that ending where you can envision them. And I love the idea that they're friendlier and nicer than you are.
Yeah.
It's really good. All right. All right. Well, here's our music, and that means that we're going to make way for Reverend James, and he's going to give us our wind-up, and then we'll come back and maybe have a few words and then say goodbye. Take it away, Reverend James.
Thank you, Miss Kat and Conjure Man, and thank you, Miss Michael of VoodooFoundry.com in Willits, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to tune in next week when we will have Papa G of FolkMagicStudio.com in Nashville, Tennessee, on the topic of zoological magic. Once again, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and ConjureMan at ConjureManConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I am your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from FolkConjure.com in North Carolina. Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Reverend James. Well, in the chat, people are saying, but what about the nails? What about the nails? Yes, we forgot the nails. I'm so sorry.
Oh,
the inscribed nails, the railroad nails, the square cut nails.
Oh,
look for
yeah.
them all in our book.
That's it.
They're going to be in our book. All right. Well, I'm very glad to have had Miss Michael here as a guest, and we'll have her in as a guest later when we come closer to the publication of this book on protection magic. I promise you that, because she's special. I love her, and she's so clever. All right.
That's right.
So I don't think I have anything more to add for this show, except for look also for Cleopatra oil. I noticed people looking up Cleopatra in the chat, and they're going, oh my God, Cleopatra. And then Conjureman mentioned milk and honey, and yes, Cleopatra with the milk and honey already. Yeah, yeah, it's happening. So Cleopatra oil is forthcoming. And I'm also hard at work on the next folder book, whether it's the golden folder or whatever we're going to call it. But I'm well into it now, so look for announcements about that book. I'll keep you all apprised as I go along. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
Good.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
See you later.